Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 23rd of November, and I'm recording at 10:34 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time here in London. And it was actually sunny today for a change. Okay, now what's happened here in the markets? Well, basically, overall, with starting with stock markets, we're really at slightly short-term overbought readings following that good rally from the mid-November lows. And markets are in a little quiet phase here, perhaps. And we'll talk more about those mid-November lows, but first, let's look at what happened here today. Japan, I'm slightly higher, but we're talking between, well, under a fifth of a percentage point, I'll put it that way. China easier across the boards, that includes the Hong Kong indices, but we're talking about a little over half a percent on the Shanghai Composite Index, and again, all under, well under 1% on the declines. Again, a little bit more of a pause. Taiwan, modest gain. South Korea, two-thirds of a percentage point gain. Let's see, Singapore, half a percent. Australia, up over a third of a percentage point. India, very small declines, under a fifth of a percentage point. And let's see, what else? Sorry, I gave Singapore prematurely. It looks like, yeah, it's down slightly here today. So again, a quiet day here overall. And if I look at the European indices, well, they were mostly in the red and ended mostly in the red. The Swiss market index is down 1%. That's the only serious decline. The only, well, it's not serious, but it's the bigger decline. And the only other index that's a little unusual here is the Italian one, which gained nearly three quarters of a percentage point. All the others showed very small losses, but to give you an idea, quarter of a point, percentage point on the German DAX, France a little bit more than that, which is not all that much given all the concerns and problems over there recently. So these other declines all under half a percent. And Wall Street, seesawed a little bit, but and ended just slightly in the red. And again, we're talking about really less than a fifth of a percentage point in all instances, and almost unchanged on the NASDAQ composite here. Very small gains for the others. Shown Canada, Mexico, and Brazil a fraction higher. So quiet, as you can see, you're very clearly, or as you can hear, I should say, I'm looking at the screen. And the U.S. 10-year Treasury, 2.237. It did get up to 2.295, but then came off. Here. So it's been in quite a narrow range here recently. And then the VIX is at 15.62. Now I was getting got slightly ahead of myself. I said I'd come back and talk about those mid-November lows for the most of the stock market indices. And so I will do so now. And this would certainly apply to the US, most of the European indices, if not all the European indices, and chunks of the Asia Pacific markets overall. As you recall, we had this very powerful rally from 5 to 6 weeks, getting starting really back in the beginning of October, and that was strong enough to, once that spilled over, to give a reasonable correction, which was really less than a third of the rally that we saw to the upside, and it ended up in most of those for most of those indices at the mid around the mid-November low point. Well, what I want to say about that is, if you're thinking, well, where are we going? What's taking place here? The first thing is, you don't need to worry about a thing if the markets stay above those mid-November lows. Now, those mid-November lows aren't all that far away. For instance, on the Dow, 17,200. This is not the exact level, but it's certainly close to it, and it's the region. But the Dow today is at nearly 17,800, just below 17,800. And 17,200 is the region of that mid-November low. For the Standard and Poor's, which closed just above 2086 here today, well, 2020 would be that low. And for the NASDAQ Composite, that closed here today at 5,102, and 4,900 is the region of that low. So really, you'd have to see a close below those mid lows that held for more than a day or so to say, you get a little bit more selling pressure in here. That wouldn't look necessarily dangerous, but what it would do is it'd say, well, we can't be certain that markets are just going to see a brief pause and then shoot higher. Currently, I would say that the odds favor, or the technical action favors, that the markets hold steady and push higher. But we do have a little bit of an overbought reading, so maybe I'm being premature in saying that they push higher. Let's see what sort of downside, if any, this short-term overbought actually produces overall. But it's basically a healthy outlook, and I know that there's still some extremely bearish comments around, and coming from some quite high-profile people overall, the bearish comments that I see seem to be in the majority, and I continue to regard that as a contrary indicator, in the most unloved bull market of our lifetime here. So there we are. What else can we talk about here today? I mentioned those bond yields. There's certainly no real pressure shown there, but my view is on bonds that we're in a lengthy support building process, basing process for the yields, and that they will push higher as global GDP growth improves. Now, what would we need to see to get clearer evidence that global GDP growth was improving? Well, I think one factor, psychologically at least, that would be quite significant would be if we had a decent commodity rally. But we've got anything but a decent commodity rally on the table here right now. But we are at such low levels that I think that everybody's projecting commodity prices lower, but we're at levels where we really ought to be saying, that thinking is really a little bit dangerous. I'll give you an example. People are saying, oh, crude oil. Well, the Brent, or the WTI. WTI is today is at trade still trading after hours, but it's at 41.99 cents $41.99. That's up 9 cents on the day. It bounced off that 40 level, and the Brent is at 45.16. That's up 50 cents and off the low of 43.57 that we saw this morning. Now, a lot of people talking about, well, this is right on its way to 30. And then some people are saying, well, it's going to 20. And that tells me that there are more people short than long in here overall. But more importantly than that slightly subjective comment of mine, but based on sentiment, which is not unrealistic. There a little story came out this afternoon that the Saudi oil minister was talking about perhaps they should be supporting the price. It's not an exact quote, but you'll see it in the news. It's bound to be in the news, and you probably heard it if you're following the markets closely in here today. And oil popped sharply to the upside. Well, now, the significance of that, I'm convinced that there are shorts in the market, and quite probably some quite big shorts. Certainly the computer money, and in addition to individual positions here overall. Well, I think it's very risky to be down at these levels and in a situation where, the Saudis could say, let's say the Saudis said they were going to cut production significantly tomorrow. I don't think they're going to do that. But if they did, just imagine the explosive rally that would actually occur. I mean, you could put $10 on it in a day. So I just think that I think the shorts are living dangerously here, and I think that sort of consensus that the prices have to go lower, they could, it's not impossible that they could be right, but it's far from a certainty. And in terms of short positions, I just think it's dangerous. It's also proving dangerous for people who have preempted the lows and bought into the decline. And I've done that on a couple of commodities, copper being one of them. And well, you feel the pain because it's catch a falling knife territory. But eventually these markets turn and very, very sharply. That's been the whole history of the commodity cycle here. And it takes a little longer this time, I think, perhaps because global GDP growth is slow, and also because people are more concerned about disinflationary, deflationary pressures than inflationary pressures, and also because technology is such a big factor in increased production, so leading to greater supply. So supply, bottom line, supply of commodities, that is the key variable, and there's too much of the stuff around. So really, producers have the ability, should they wish to cut that production somewhat, but of course, no one wants to be first to do that, and they want the competition to be bankrupted, so that they can then, so that production is reduced that way, and therefore you can stay depressed for a longer level, and as yet, there's no concerted effort that I'm aware of, at any rate, that people are talking about getting prices higher. But I've said it many times, crude oil, really, we're talking about the Saudis here. They're the ones that drove the market down by announcing that they were going to pump a whole lot more, and have done so. And if the Saudis said that they were going to cut their production by 20%, 25%, well, you'd get an explosive rally. Now, obviously, the Saudis don't want to do that unless they have the rest of OPEC at least on board. They'd like to have, excuse me, they'd like to have more than just OPEC on board. They certainly want to have Russia on board, and I just wish they're thinking they're really annoyed and frustrated and embarrassed that fracking hasn't just gone away. But it's not going to go away. So, what would happen? Well, if they did cut oil production by 20-25%, bringing it down to between 8 million barrels a day to 7.5 million barrels. And if they did that and were able to persuade a number of the other OPEC producers to do so, that they'd be far better off. They're not going to get this back up to $115, $120. That's a pipe dream going forward, I'm convinced. I remain convinced. But they could get it up to $70 or $80, and that would buy a lot of time and re significantly reduce the cash burn rate that all of these OPEC countries have, not least the Saudis. They've got about a 20% cash burn rate. They've got a lot of cash, but at 20%, well, it's you don't have to do the. It's not challenging to do the maths here. And they've had that 20% burn rate for over a year, so they've got about another 4 years before they're completely out of cash, and they're certainly not going to let that happen. So my feeling, the smart move would be for them to quietly line up the rest of OPEC. That would also improve their relationships somewhat with the rest of OPEC, and quietly agree to some significant cutbacks. And once they've done that, to announce it. You first you d declare victory in the lower prices, and say you've achieved what you wanted to, and sit back and enjoy the $70, $80, or at least $60, depending on how the whole thing's presented, that they would receive. Okay, well, I've heard that, I've said that before, and but I think it is a key point here overall. What else can we say today? Well, precious metals, the dollar's too strong. Dollar index here. Now, it got up to today. What did it get up to? Exactly 100, the dollar index. Exactly 100. Well, that's the magical level, reached also briefly, slightly exceeded in March and April of this year. It's currently at 99.71. I think it was last week we saw get up close to 100 and then back off for several days. But we're having another go in here, and everybody knows that the U.S. is going to hike rates 0.25% in December, and a lot of people are talking about them going on and raising rates to at least 1% overall in 2016. I think that's by no means a certainty that that will happen. The quarter point in December, I think, is a certainty. That's, of course, buy the rumor, sell the news, at least in terms of the U.S. dollar, putting this dollar strength up, which is a headwind, obviously, for all of these commodity prices. So we saw some big hits here in the precious metals. Well, some big hits. Platinum, palladium rather, starting with palladium, down $17.5 to 551 and change. Silver down over 6 cents, almost 6.5 cents to 1403. But it got down to 1385 here earlier today, but could not hold it. Silver is an interesting one. It'll be a leader on the upside when these things are in a position to sustain a real move to the upside. Not quite yet, but not far off, is my response to the unstated question about the timing of that. Platinum down $8.5 to $847 and change. Gold bullion is quieter here, $1,069, dollars down, down slightly. That's. I can see from the futures contract that's down over $8, $9. Okay, other commodities mostly lower, but I'll give the exceptions. White sugar a little bit higher, industrial metals weaker, copper down here again. $3.40, I beg your pardon, 3 cents, down 3 cents to 202, 202. Looked at that magic 200 level and steadied a couple of cents from that point. And what else? Last but not least, currencies. I mentioned the dollar index up there testing 100 and backing off. Well, right now we see the euro at 106, 1.0635, and we see sterling at 1.5123. So there's certainly going to be a little bit more downward pressure, no rout, but a little more downward pressure for both the euro and sterling. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.